Harvard psychology professor Katie McLaughlin had no idea that her work would become instrumental during COVID when she began to study kids and families' mental health a few years ago. Her research on more than 200 families before and during the outbreak provides clues about the pandemic's impact on the emotional health of children. What she's found is a doubling of the rates of depression and anxiety, and an almost threefold increase in behavioral problems in children between April and December of last year. The kids in her study are between 7 and 15 years old. We spoke with McLaughlin for our series, Pandemic Generation. We began by asking her about her previous research on children's mental health after disasters such as 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina.
We have learned a lot about how these types of community-wide disruptions impact children and families and their mental health based on prior events like natural disasters, Hurricane Katrina, for example, 9/11. And, you know, what we tend to find, children who are exposed to these types of community-wide stressors experience increases in mental health problems. Not all children, but we see meaningful increases from baseline. But what I would say is that the increases we've seen during the COVID-19 pandemic are substantially higher.
There are so many people affected, obviously, in a global health pandemic like this in so many different ways. Were you able to sort of flesh out a bit differences in mental health outcomes for children based on the adversity they experienced?
One of the primary findings is that by far the strongest predictor of children experiencing this increase in mental health problems over time was the degree of exposure they had to pandemic-related stressors. And what's interesting is we see that the association is fairly nonspecific. So it's not like, you know, for families who experienced a lot of burden related to family members developing serious COVID, for families who experienced financial loss and food insecurity, essentially the pattern looked fairly similar. Interestingly, we saw that coupling between experiencing stressors and developing increases in mental health problems was stronger for adolescents. Adolescents seem to be more sensitive to the effects of these pandemic-related stressors than younger kids.
You did a lot of research on Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath. What do you think is a lesson that we can take from getting out of a disaster? How many kids will bounce back, and how long might they continue to suffer these effects?
So, you know, the good news first is that across most studies, what we see is that about half of kids exhibit resilience, and sometimes more, where mental health and functioning stays fairly good, even despite experiencing significant adversity. Of the remaining half of kids, about half of them, so about 25% of kids, will experience increases in symptoms and mental health problems like anxiety or depression initially, but they recover typically on their own within about a year. It's the remainder, 25% or sometimes 30% of kids that we're most concerned about. You know, after natural disasters and other types of similar stressful events, we see that about 25 to 30% of kids develop new symptoms and mental health problems, and they remain elevated over time. In the studies we did of children after Hurricane Katrina, we saw that there was a fairly sizable group of kids who were still experiencing fairly meaningful increases in mental health problems 2 to 3 years later.
And so what do you take from this, now that you know the numbers, what do you take from this about helping kids and families going forward and helping them to recover from something like this?
You know, one of the things that we've been focused on in our research is trying to identify factors that promote resilience, things that any family might have access to. So, you know, of course, we can talk about things like mental health treatment and interventions, but during the pandemic, you know, most families didn't have access to those types of interventions, or they looked very different than they might have looked otherwise. And so we were focused on simple factors that were low cost and easily accessible. You know, so for example, we found that kids who were getting more routine exercise, so getting, you know, doing some type of physical activity on more days of the week, were less likely to develop mental health problems. That children who had a structured routine, those children were less likely to develop behavior problems. We also found that we all have spent more time on screens. And so we were interested in passive use of screens. So, you know, sort of browsing through content on the internet or watching videos on YouTube. And what we found is that children who engaged in more of that passive use were more likely to develop mental health problems.
Do you think, based on your previous research of natural disasters and what you've seen so far in the pandemic, that we might see something different long-term for kids' mental health post-pandemic?
It's a great question, and in many ways, it's the million-dollar question that we are all wondering about. And one of the challenges with this pandemic is that the scope is so much larger. This has affected all of us. And so the sheer number of children who may be experiencing ongoing difficulties, you know, is likely to be really high. Even if the proportion is similar to what we've seen in other types of events, the scope of this pandemic is so much larger than these events we've previously studied. And so that raises a lot of challenges for the mental health field in terms of how we meet the needs of these children and families as we begin to transition out of this most acute phase of the pandemic.
Katie McLaughlin, Professor of Psychology at Harvard University, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.